Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Back on FST. Thanks for joining us, hour number two. We talk some NBA. Get to NFL maybe by the end of this hour. We're going to talk NFL all the third hour, fantasy implications, stories. Kind of a lull. Like, you can see they're trying to like extract some stories now out of the NFL news. Like, hey, did you see Odell Beckham got checked out Cristiano Ronaldo's Bugatti? I mean, I watched the video. It's a ridiculous car, but like, those are the types of things you're seeing on some of the more popular NFL websites now. And I'm like, all right, just maybe time to never just take a two-week vacation and call us in July when the players are getting back to training camp. But anyway, we're going to be going over this kind of stuff and projections for the 2018 season all throughout the month of July. We'll start our divisional previews next weekend. I won't be here next Saturday, but we'll be here on Sunday. And Kevin and I will start doing divisional breakdowns. We'll get it all done in the month of July, whether I'm here or not. George Kurtz will be filling in on a couple of those days, and Kevin and George will be doing it. So we'll give you all kind of divisional breakdowns all through the month of July. We get a chance to talk about each team, each player. We'll be spending a lot more time on the NFL percentage-wise on these shows. So hopefully you'll appreciate that. But we're going to talk a little bit more NBA right now because, you know, we're headed into free agency here on July 1st, which is a week from today. That'll be a crazy show, actually. Usually have those like midnight signings, right, on July 1st. So we'll have some news probably next Sunday, 9 a.m. We'll probably already have some news to report on that, wouldn't you think?
I would absolutely assume so. Just because LeBron won't be deciding July 1st does not mean that there's not going to be a massive group of people kind of making their decisions on July 1st. So, yeah, I think that we'll have a lot of stuff to get into.
Somebody that did decide yesterday, it's shocking, Carmelo Anthony opted into his $28 million payday. Weird that you didn't think you were going to get more on the open market, Melo? Thanks for trashing the team at the end of the season and then opting in. Appreciate it. Good times for Oklahoma City. So that is one of the first pieces that, you know, everybody knew this was going to happen. Oklahoma City had been preparing themselves for this. They saw the trade for him as a two-year deal, even though the second part of the deal was an option year. So anyway, that's one of the first pieces is him opting in. We saw the Dwight Howard is getting bought out. That's not finalized yet. And then Carmelo opting in, as did Wilson Chandler yesterday as well, but at a much lower rate than Carmelo. So I'll pose it to you. What does this mean for Oklahoma City? Are they going to spend the year trying to ditch that contract and get somebody that can fit the cap space to save it for the 2019 free agency period?
You know, I saw some people reacting to the Melo stuff, trying to defend Carmelo, saying, oh, we can't knock Carmelo for opting in. Players, you go out there and get your money. Nobody is knocking Carmelo Anthony for opting into $28, $29 million.
Everybody in the world would do that, especially when you know that the marketplace isn't going to bear that for you.
I just got a wild update on my phone, and it's not any type of breaking news, but apparently Messi is going to select the starting team against Nigeria.
Cool. That's good times.
Apparently the coach
has a soccer federation or a coach. Just
apparently
let the
coach
best
has lost all his power.
Yeah.
So
good times.
So be it. We'll see how that plays out. But people aren't knocking Melo for that reason. It's because Melo is now terrible. Of anybody that was at his level of usage last year, he was the worst player. He just was. And The knock is him not being willing to accept perhaps a lesser role. One of the more infamous quotes from him last year was, AOP, they said I got to come off the bench. Yeah, Miller, you need to come off the bench. Absolutely. Going into last year, I don't think that's what the Thunder were hoping for. They wanted to see if they could get the best out of him, and they kind of got stuck in that space where Melo was going to start, for better or for worse, for worse. But this year, I don't see how Carmelo Anthony could start. And I do definitely think we could see a buyout, actually, similar to the Dwight Howard situation, because they don't want him there. And I don't know if he really even wants to be there. Like, there's been no type of report that him and Russell have hit it off, him and Paul George have hit it off, him and Steven Adams, or none of that's happened. It's just the opt-in. And for Carmelo's lifestyle and his family, Oklahoma City isn't the place that he wants to be. So I wouldn't be shocked in the least to see a buyout coming from the two sides.
So who could use somebody like Melo? People are going to just assume him to be an off-the-bench three-point guy, like a Kyle Korver. In fact, I saw a lot of people saying Kyle Korver's better than Carmelo Anthony now. I saw a lot of that chatter during the playoffs, but he's really just that type of player.
I think the problem perhaps that could come with Melo is if he truly believes that he is a $28, $29 million player. Which if I had to bet, does Melo think that he is closer to $28 million or closer to a vet min? He'd probably say $28 million. He is much closer.
That's not even a debate.
But he is
not even a debate that he would say that.
And he is much closer to a vet min than a max player. So it's difficult to gauge which team could use Carmelo, because the role that which Carmelo would be best suited in, I don't know if he is willing to play.
I get it. So how about, yeah, but who could use somebody like him? I guess there's a bunch of teams that can always use a guy like that, but that's not like the Warriors would be like, hey.
Well, I think the easiest connection would be wherever LeBron lands would probably get a look, right? I think that that's definitely something you would see a lot of.
Especially if it's L.A.
Yeah, I think that would definitely get a ton of talk. And then you just go to teams, again, if he's willing to take lesser money, teams that could use some bench help. The Wizards come to mind. Again, I remember when they had Paul Pierce kind of playing that role. That version of Paul Pierce or this version of Melo, maybe they're comparable. So maybe the Wizards could be interested in his services. Maybe the Pacers, if they've got some money and they want to extend their bench. I wanted to say the Timberwolves because their bench is terrible, but Tom Thibodeau's out of his mind. And he's going to start Carmelo Anthony playing 40 minutes a night and give him 24 shots a game. So I don't want to throw the two.
So you brought up two cities, L.A., which makes sense for him and his wife's lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. And D.C., which is where Carmelo's from, Baltimore, I believe, originally. So so that area would make sense for him as well if he wanted to go back home. So I think it's a good point you make. I could see LeBron, him, you know, sort of following LeBron, maybe helping Melo to understand that this is the role he's going to be best at, but who knows? I have no idea what the Lakers would look like if and when LeBron gets there, right? I saw a crazy Kawhi to the Lakers trade earlier this morning posed by somebody, which is pretty interesting. It was between the Hornets, the Lakers, and I can't remember the third team. But good players kind of moving around, Luol Deng and going to the Hornets on a salary cap move, and they get Brandon Ingram as well as picks, and then Kawhi goes to the Lakers, and then the third team would have been
Spurs, I would assume.
Yes, sorry, the Spurs would end up with Kemba Walker and who's the other guard that the Hornets have right now?
Monk.
Who?
Monk. Tomb?
No. Sorry.
Jeremy Lamb.
That's it. Jeremy Lamb. So those two would be in San Antonio. Picks to the Hornets plus Brandon Ingram, Kawhi to the Lakers. And the question was basically like, who? Oh, and Kuzma also going to the Spurs, I believe. And the question was, who says no first? And I think the Lakers really love Kuzma, and they would have a hard time with that. But they're getting Kawhi, so they would have to give up a first and Brandon Ingram and Kuzma. I mean, that is what it would take. I just think it's a lot.
So,
and there's no sense that Kawhi would definitely say yes and definitely sign long term. The other thought process is that, well, he's talked about going to the Lakers anyway, so why are the Lakers giving all this up in order to get a guy that says he wants to be there? They can just sign him if they clear cap space.
So let me ask you this. Do you think LeBron goes where Kawhi goes, assuming Kawhi is moved? Is that where you're at? Because I think one of the bigger things that really started to push the LeBron to L.A. stuff was the Kawhi talk.
I think LeBron's going to make up his mind irregardless of Kawhi. I do think it's possible he's doing some recruiting with Paul George and or Kawhi, but I think LeBron's going to kind of make up his mind. It's like when he went back to Cleveland. I know that was a unique scenario because he's from there, but he didn't really counsel Dwayne Wade, and there's a lot of suggestion that Dwayne Wade really wasn't sure, despite the fact they spent time in Vegas together and they're on a private jet together. That LeBron didn't really tell Dwayne Wade that he was going to leave Miami and go back to Cleveland. Like, he just waited until he had made up his own mind, and then Dwayne Wade found out like everybody else. Maybe he texted him right before he announced it, right before the SI story came out. But, I think LeBron's just kind of going to make up his own mind and have discussions with whatever team he's landing at beforehand. Obviously, if he can set it up to get with Kawhi and or Paul George like he did in Miami, then he'll do it. But I just don't know. LeBron's almost at a different level now where he's like, I'm just going to do what I want, and I want to be in L.A., hypothetically, and we'll figure it out from there.
So with Kawhi, I'm at four teams right now that I think we're still in the race. Clippers were eliminated on draft night. Cavs were as well. Lakers, the Celtics, the Sixers, and I think the Heat are still involved.
This is Kawhi right
this
now?
This is Kawhi.
Okay.
However, I think the Celtics are kind of more so involved to assure that nobody gets Kawhi for free. Sort of, we have enough of assets to where we're going to watch over this thing and make sure that nobody gets Kawhi on the super cheap, otherwise we'll come in and we will take him. Because I do think that they want to run the roster that which they have back next year and see what they can do with it, right? One game away from getting to the finals without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. So I don't really consider the Celtics too much. The Lakers obviously are the big one, but the reports that the Spurs will not send him to the Western Conference are coming out by the day now. So if that's real, it would leave two teams. It would leave Philly and it would leave Miami. And most people would say, well, Philly can offer a much better package. And most people probably wouldn't have Miami in there. But I actually think that the answer to where Kawhi would end up could come down to a different question of, do the Spurs intend on moving LaMarcus Aldridge? If the answer is yes, then Philly will blow Miami's offer out of the water. They will offer them the 2021 Miami Heat pick, ironically enough, Markelle Fultz, Dario Saric, and perhaps even more. The Heat won't be able to match that exciting level of young prospects and future assets. But if this team wants to keep LaMarcus Aldridge, wants to remain competitive, mind you, this team was two games away from a three seed. They were three games away from another 50-win season without Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge also missed some time. If they want to remain their usual competitive selves, Pop supposed to be up in 2020 after the Olympics, he wants to just push this thing as far as he can go, and he's not interested in anything near a rebuild, then Goran Dragic plus Justice Winslow plus Bam Adebayo might end up getting the deal done. Because when you look at the comparison of the offers, Dario Saric is a better player than Justice Winslow, but Saric is a 4, Winslow is a 3. Bam Adebayo, I promise you, cannot be outperformed by a 2021 first-round pick. Next year, it's literally impossible. It's an asset. And Dragic to Fultz, Fultz has higher upside. Fultz is an upside play. But if for next year, if you had to guarantee the performance of one of those guys, It is not close. It is Goran Dragic, who was an all-star and is someone that the Spurs system is familiar with and may actually covet. So I actually think that this...
So then what would Miami look like? So what does Miami look like?
Miami then becomes a situation where if they get Kawhi with Dwayne there, with the connections, I think that it could very much so lend itself to LeBron going back to Miami.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I think I've in some ways I've kind of eliminated LeBron from Miami. I don't know why I've done that, but I just keep thinking the LA drum is beating so loudly. I think that's why I've sort of considered that that's just going to happen, especially when the odds are set right now by Bovada at 4-13 to go to the Lakers. We'll talk about LeBron. We'll do the LeBron odds when we come back. So you think the Kawhi setup is the Kawhi to Miami is just a setup for LeBron to be back there?
I think that if he landed in Miami, I would almost be shocked to see LeBron not end up there. And you can answer on the other side of the break, but I'm curious to what you think the Spurs would want to do. Do they sell off LaMarcus Aldridge? Do they enter a rebuild? Do they try to get an injection of youth under there, get these players to learn under Pop? If he's only going to be coaching two more full seasons and maybe see if being around those younger guys with higher upside could keep him around for longer than just the 2 years? Or does Pop say, give me ready-to-play assets that fit with this roster. I want to be competitive. I want to win 50 games. Because if they make that trade, people will be like, oh, the Spurs can't do anything. Again, without Kawhi and LaMarcus as well missing time, they won 47 games. They were 2 games back of a 3 seed. They were 3 games away from winning 50 games. With that trade, they probably finished top
Buford
four.
Are usually, Pop and R.C. Buford would also have to be realistic about, even if they win their 50 games, exactly what it would look like come May and June. And can they really compete against some of the top teams in the Western Conference? So we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this and then talk about LeBron, where he might end up in a month. So Mike and Kevin back after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Sean and Rob killing it. Foo Fighters today. I'm digging it. Welcome back to FST. Hopefully you're reaching out to us. Feel free to. At FNTSY Radio. At Mike Bludak, the Kevin Walsh, 844-843-6879. And if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you want, and if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So, LeBron, I just lost it. Darn it. I just had the thing up, and I lost it. I promise I'll get right there. It is right here. Oh, my goodness. I am a disaster on the radio at this moment. LeBron James services updated by Bovada. 4-13 to the Lake Show. Cavs 13-4. This was, when was this? Saturday. So I just want to make sure everybody knows. No, it was Friday afternoon. It was after the draft, just so we're clear when these odds were set. Houston Rockets at 15-2. Sixers 10-1. Celts 18-1, Spurs 20-1, Clips 25-1, the Knicks at 30-1. I have no idea how the hell that happened. And the Miami Heat at 40-1. Obviously, your theory has a lot of moving parts, so those would change drastically if Kawhi ended up in Miami, like, in the next week. It has to happen soon. That's the other thing. So your theory requires a lot of heavy lifting in a very short period of time.
Why is that?
And
why does it have to happen in the next week?
Well, soon, right? Because LeBron's going to do the opt out. He's going to be shopping his services. Yeah. It doesn't have to happen by July 1st, but he's going to be shopping his services. And if he wants that that Miami plan to come together, then the Spurs have to make that trade immediately. The one thing I could say about the Spurs that it seems to me right now is they're not particularly interested in being pushed into this in a quick fashion.
Yeah, they said that they intend on trying to repair this relationship. I actually think, ironically enough, one of the teams that was originally talked about that could probably get a meeting, right? We know that Pop wanted to meet with LeBron. So the Spurs probably are going to try and have that meeting first, right? Like, if part of their pitch to Kawhi is, hey, LeBron said he'll come. Like, that might help. Although, I actually don't know if it'll help because I have no idea, like, if that's what Kawhi wants. Like, part of the thing that nobody's discussing is actually, does Kawhi want to play with LeBron? Like, of all the player relationships we know, there is not a single player in this league that we know is buddy-buddy with Kawhi Leonard. So, it makes sense on-court-wise, but I think LeBron is certainly a big off-court relationship guy. I think Kawhi seems to be becoming that in a sense of it matters to him. That is not to say that he has a ton of off-court relationships with his teammates. Maybe he does, I don't know. But, I mean, he seems to be more of a to-himself guy.
They seem super psyched with him right now. Everybody seems really thrilled with him. Bruce Bowen just fired back. I know they weren't together during that championship run, but you know, Bruce Bowen seems really excited about Kawhi and his attitude towards the team. Look, he's a different cat, I think. We're used to gregarious, somewhat outspoken superstars. Kawhi isn't that. He just isn't, you know. It's funny because we've been talking a lot, more so than we have in years recently, just about Dwight Howard and how he, you know, he got traded and the Nets are going to buy him out and he'll be somewhere on a vet min contract somewhere. But Dwight Howard's a hot potato, right? People, he's probably going to say, open his arms up and say, hey, I'm available for a vet min. And there's going to be 20 teams with a stop sign in front of their face, if not higher.
Like, will he, though?
Guys that don't want to play with him.
Because apparently, like, the thing with the reason why the Brooklyn buyout came so quickly is they were like, yeah, you're going to come off the bench. And he was like, oh, no, I'm leaving. Like, I don't know if he has a problem.
I don't think the Nets are upset about that, though.
No. But what I'm saying is I don't know if I this is what happens kind of with anybody of Dwight Howard's elk, and I understand why. But I'm not sure if Dwight's going to be out there chasing rings. He's probably just going to be chasing more money. I'm not sure. I don't think Dwight's playing on any type of vet min. I don't think if the Warriors tell him that he'll be their starting center, that's a different conversation. He's not going to back up JaVale McGee. He's not going.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So I think that all matters.
The Warriors are unique in that JaVale McGee is their starting center.
Or right? Disgusting.
It's a unique scenario.
So disgusting.
So, yeah, right. You're becoming an anti-Warriors guy. That's what's happening. Maybe I shouldn't say becoming. You are an anti-Warriors guy.
It's not about anti-Warriors. Think about who their starting centers have been throughout this run. Zaza Pachulia, terrible. Yep. JaVale McGee was viewed strictly for jokes. Jordan Bell is 6'8". Like, they turned Kevin Durant into a center. It's just, I say disgusting.
Jordan Bell was pretty good during the playoffs.
He was. I say disgusting more so is just, it's not in a literal sense. It's just unbelievable the way that they've transformed the center position. I mean, they probably.
Yeah, like when you look back on it in 20 years, like, hey, who was the center on that in that Warriors dynasty? It was Zaza Pachulia, who couldn't stop injuring other players.
That is someone that I have JaVale a strong McGee. Disdain for.
Yeah, I get it. Zaza's a dirty player. Just you got to sometimes you cut to the chase, and you can say, I don't know, that was kind of, I'm not sure. Zaza's trying to hurt people, but Draymond did too. Draymond tried to hurt people. He did. That's the type of player he is. I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but Draymond knows how to get under people's skin, and he knows what it takes to kind of win, and he's not afraid to kick people in the junk to get a W in the NBA Finals. I'm just saying, or in the Western Conference playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of backfired him on the NBA Finals, but
yeah, it did.
So be it.
So, anyway. So you understand what I'm saying about the LeBron to San Antonio thing? Like, a lot of stuff would have to happen, and I don't think LeBron's going to wait that long.
I don't. So
for that to happen,
what I do think is this is actually going to be part of this whole situation is right. Like, each time LeBron has left, everybody's been wrong. Like, people thought he was going to stay in Cleveland the first time he left. People thought he was going to stay in Miami. He left. So nobody's actually really been able to pin down what LeBron is going to do. But this is also very different. The last time that he went on these big meetings, I remember I thought this type of spectacle was the normal at the time because I was much younger. But they kind of had to
be fair. The television show, I didn't think he was staying in Cleveland when they did a television show to announce where he was going. I didn't think that.
But leading up to the process, I'm saying. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's kind of when that's announced. But the original, I think, thought was that. And what I was saying, though, in terms of, I remember he was kind of getting out of the big Escalades and everything, and they were kind of like the TMZ shots, LeBron on his way to his meeting with Miami. Like, if LeBron has to take a meeting with, say, the teams that I think were listed, right? He's going to meet with Cleveland, the Lakers, the Spurs, Miami, Philly, Houston. I think maybe there was one more. Like, maybe he would, I don't know if he was going to sit down with Boston. Maybe it was the Clippers. Clippers are out of all of this talk anyway. So maybe it's those five or six teams that he's going to actually take sit-down meetings with. Like, that's another thing that I do think is a very interesting wrinkle to this entire offseason, is how many people are kind of sat back waiting for LeBron to make his move and then everything falls in line. Or is everybody just going to be like, it's whatever, like the world keeps spinning?
I think because of the nature of LeBron's other decisions, I think the teams that there'll be a couple of teams that know they're in the mix and they'll be waiting, but everybody else is, you know, it's just fallout. They're not going to, I don't think they'll be waiting around for anything, you know, like, cause the manner in which a LeBron team is constructed, whether Kawhi is on it or not, the players around it are going to be just collateral damage, right? Whether they have to get moved for cap space or they are a collection of, you know, lower priced veterans, you know, like a Kyle Korver, not to suggest that he's not getting paid a lot, but, you know, Kyle Korver isn't making huge money. You know, they'll put together pieces like they did with Cleveland, which may or may not work like it did in Cleveland. That makes sense?
No, it makes sense. I'm thinking right in terms of, like, is Paul George can do whatever he wants on you know, July 1st. Like, we're talking about what, like, we could come into that morning talking about Paul George decided to sign a max with Oklahoma City, and if he doesn't sign that max right away, like, does that mean that Paul George is gonna wait on LeBron? Because there's nothing, LeBron doesn't factor into his Oklahoma City decision. Like, does he intend to take a meeting with LA? I also think a lot of these other, like a guy like Trevor Ariza, who's already been reported to be interested in potentially joining the Warriors next year. Well, maybe he would be interested in a similar situation if LeBron plus Kawhi landed anywhere, Philly, Miami.
Who was it that LA. You said was going to the Warriors?
Trevor Ariza was supposedly interested.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if
they must be super impressed by him after the Western Conference Finals performance.
Yeah, and he must have been super impressed by
sign that guy. 0 for 9 from 3 in the closeout game. And that's the guy you need. They really need to sign him.
They probably had the big handshake agreement again, like KD and Draymond had done before KD ever joined. They were like, Trevor, come on, what do you think? And that's why he was so off the whole game. He was thinking about his recruitment and moving to the Bay Area.
Hampton's five.
Hampton's six now. They're going to bring Trevor Ariza.
It depends where they recruited him. Maybe it was like the Napa Valley six. You know, maybe it'll be something like that. The Napa Winery six as opposed to the Hampton five.
I cannot believe that they had the name of the death lineup with Harrison Barnes. Swapped Harrison Barnes for Kevin Durant and thought it was better to be known as the Hamptons five.
Well, you remember it. It's all marketing, bud.
No one can. Hampton's Five is trash. What a trash name. Trash. Not intimidating. A joke. They get clowned for it. They're the only team. I don't understand how they've
done this. That's what makes it even better. You never want to play the Hampton's Five.
Nobody wants to watch the Hampton's Five. Everyone just wants to fight the Hampton's Five. The death lineup. Right. No, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying the Hamptons Five is best basketball team we may have ever seen. So I find them to be very intimidating if I'm on the other end of it. So you transitioned into Paul George. So by the way, for the odds here on LeBron, 4-13 on the Lake Show, 13-4, 15-2 on the Rockets. You're going to take the money on Miami. That's you because you came up with a crazy theory, which isn't crazy. It's a lot of stuff would have to happen. 40-1 Miami Heat. That's where you're putting your money.
Yeah, I would gladly put money down on it. I think that it's possible, and I don't know if
what do the Sixers have to do to get him there.
Philly apparently is 100%. So Philly is. I'm glad you brought that back up. Philly is reportedly 1,000% all the way in on bringing in LeBron. All the way in. But they also seem to be accruing assets to make a move. Like, that's just what it looks like. To me, at least. So, I don't know. It is feasible for them to actually have both of them. I don't know if that is their plan. But it is feasible. I don't know. I was originally very set on the idea of LeBron to Philly. I think that I still think that it's in play because I think that there is a connection to Ben Simmons. I think staying within the Eastern Conference makes sense. I think a player like Joel Embiid is someone that LeBron wants to play with as well. Just kind of, you know, a rim protecting big who's incredibly skilled and things of that nature. So I think that Philly offers a lot. And there's also been the reports that LeBron is more interested in playing more off ball at his next stop, which lends itself perfectly to playing next to Ben Simmons. And it would be in a much more creative off-ball way than if he went to Houston, right? Like, if he went to Houston, he's sitting in the corner for a ton of possessions, like Trevor Ariza was.
It should be noted that Philly, right now, salary cap numbers committed. They're only committed to $46 million for the 2018-2019 season. That's way down the list in the league. They were, like, 22nd. In the league, I believe, and maybe even lower for the 2018-19 season. So, yeah, not a lot committed there. Tons of cap space, and as you said, they acquired some assets too, which could be, you know,
and I think
absolutely a setup for whatever. But I think that's why I think they're just doing a good job in general, right? You're always trying to acquire assets. We have a team that's challenging in the Eastern Conference, plus we're acquiring long-term assets that could position us to get player X, whether that's Kawhi Leonard or somebody else that might help.
I do. I think my assumption and kind of the Philly mindset is all in on LeBron. If we get LeBron, boom, even better. We'll move and get Kawhi. If we miss out on LeBron, then we're going to pay whatever the price is to get Kawhi Leonard. I think that they are dead set on making that big splash. I believe that there could be just kind of with extensions and contracts kicking in that it might be a little more difficult for them to add that max player the way that they are today. And also, I mean, if they can pull that move off, we saw Philly do well in the buyout market, right? Like how impactful Bellinelli and Ilyasova were for them. I think J.J. Redick returns on significantly less money to Philly.
$23 million this past year.
Right, like he's going to get like $5 million, maybe. I think if he wanted to stay in Philly under the umbrella of a LeBron plus Kawhi plus Ben Simmons plus Joel Embiid. What a team that could be. I think Philly as constructed, just plus LeBron, I think right away they absolutely can win a title and beat the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, you got LeBron, Simmons, Fultz is a question mark, Embiid, Saric, and Redick back on a minimum. Yeah, good team. Really good team. Best team in the East, for sure, easily. They far for surpass the Celts, in
Boston's
my estimation.
Boston's going to be very upset.
The Celts
with
are getting Kyrie and Hayward back. You tend to forget that because we haven't seen those guys in a while. Anyway, come back. We'll keep talking NBA before we turn the page over to the NFL in hour number three. It's Mike and Kevin back right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back on FST, Mikey, Kevin, just talking NBA, and I was reading an article. This is from a couple of weeks ago. Scott Rafferty from Sporting News talking about best destinations for Paul George. Paul George has until June 29th to let the Thunder know if he'll exercise his player option worth $20.7 million to stay in Oklahoma City next season. Possibility stays in Oklahoma City, even declines his player option, and he could sign a longer, more lucrative contract with the franchise. But it obviously opens the door for him to sign with another team in free agency. So from the Pacers to the Lakers, let's take a look at George's best options. He actually says the Pacers are one of these options. And while the team hasn't changed much since George traded from Indiana to Oklahoma City, the addition of Victor Oladipo alone has taken them to a new level. So could you run it back with Oladipo and George and have the Pacers make some real noise in the Eastern Conference? Obviously, you don't know where LeBron's going to be, so that's going to change the dynamic as well. You always, as I said before the break, Hayward and Kyrie coming back. I'll get to the Celts in a minute because it is interesting to me, right? Like, I don't even know what the Celts are going to look like by the end of the year next year, right? We'll say they'll be better. They should be, right? They're adding Hayward and Kyrie would be on the team for the playoffs, but there's going to be some other moving parts here. So that was what I'll get back to the Paul George thing in a second. I've hated the Celtics my whole life. I've never rooted for them. I lived in Boston for 8 years. I hated the Celtics. I hated rooting for them. And then this version of this Celtics team and what they were able to do throughout the playoffs was fascinating to me. And I was into it because it was pretty cool. They had a bunch of young players, Rozier and Brown and Marcus Smart, that were just like max efforting their way to these series wins. And it was fun to watch. They were a fun team for the playoffs, right? I'll never root for them again. I doubt it. But that was fun. But at the same time, I was saying to my friends that were Celtics fans, and probably even you at some point along the way, I have no idea what they're going to look like in 10 months when those playoffs were going on. Because how do the roles switch and what does it look like? Obviously, they'll be good, but that's a curious thing for me.
I think the putting Kyrie back is actually pretty simple, right? Like you're just taking Terry Rozier out. I think their opening night lineup actually though, right? It was Irving, Brown, Tatum, Hayward, and Al Horford. That's entirely what I would anticipate their starting lineup to be. It's a matter of just kind of distributing the shots and things of that nature and getting chemistry all kind of put into place. And I think that Boston is kind of set up to be fantastic next year. There's really no debating it. The question becomes, do they make a big move and what that could mean for their team? And a big move can come in a number of ways. Do they find some trade for Kyrie Irving? Well, what do they get back? Do they move Terry Rozier and the Kings pick and the protected Grizzlies pick and find a way to clear enough cap space to bring back someone that we're not even thinking about? Maybe. So the thing about Boston that I do think we learned a lot last year, right? Because we were waiting on it. Why are they not trading for Paul George? Why are they not trading for Jimmy Butler? And then the move came and they made the move for Kyrie Irving. And this is why there is not there, and it's yet to happen. There's yet to be talks about a big trade in the NBA for almost going on now. It's probably 3-4 years where the Celtics name is not mentioned because of all of the assets that which they have. So, I mean, it to the point where people are still trying to pretend that Anthony Davis is on the trade block when he hasn't been for like this whole time. Going to be interesting to see if Boston makes any type of move. As constructed, they are head and shoulders above the rest of the Eastern Conference. Even if LeBron came back to Cleveland and maybe they added some type of piece, not a Kawhi Leonard level, maybe Kemba, who they seem to be dead set on, which makes no sense. Why'd you draft Colin Sexton? It does seem like, once again, Dan Gilbert and those in the front office maybe don't have the best plan. I don't know. I have no idea why that's kind of the MO. But Boston would still be comfortably ahead in the favorites ahead of the Celtics.
I think what you said is really why I have struggled with it, because there is rumors of a big move. So I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. They'll be good. They're managing the heck out of the roster, and they did a really good job this year despite crazy injuries. And I don't know how Brad Stevens didn't get a Coach of the Year vote, but like as I've told you before, I don't get worked up over the voting stuff anymore because it's usually kind of ridiculous, you know. Like people have asked me in the past, like, what did you think of the NFL Top 100? I haven't watched that thing in years. I always found it to be kind of ridiculous. When I would see rankings come through, I so vehemently disagreed with them because it's a player popularity thing more than anything else that I just, like, I can't do anything with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, J.J. Watt even made fun of it himself, where I think he was voted in, like, the top 20 last year, and he didn't play. So he was like, I'm not really sure how this makes sense. But anyway, I digress. Let's get back to Paul George. What I don't know, and you can possibly help me with this, is I was able to give you the Kawhi options a couple of weeks ago about what it would look like if he opted into the Supermax, if he waited and opted in with the Spurs, or if he went somewhere else and the money goes down significantly. I don't know what that looks like with Paul George, but I imagine it's a similar sort of trail off because I think the Kawhi deal was like 5 for $219 if he signed the Supermax now, and it would be if he waited to the end of this year and signed back with the Spurs, it was like 4 for $189. And then if he went somewhere else, the most he could get was like 4 for $139 or something like that. So it's a big difference. It's like an $80 million difference between signing a Supermax or waiting it out and signing somewhere else. $139 million, crazy money, but it isn't $219. And I haven't seen many guys in my lifetime pass up $80 million. Not in any business, not in any sport, not anywhere. So people have to remember that. Like, Kawhi may stick to his guns, but at some point his uncle, who's now advising him, is going to be like, you know, get $80 million bucks more if we do this. So anyway, you can help me with the Paul George stuff as you research it. But do you think there's any opportunity for that to happen? Because it seemed like it was a marriage that ended, but maybe the situation is too good for him to pass up. He comes back to the East to run it with Oladipo, and they could challenge.
No, I don't. I don't think that he wants to go back there. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of funny. Yeah. They spoke to the Pacers, I believe, GM about this at the time. He was like, yeah, we have to reevaluate our roster and see who fits. Kind of trying to say, like, oh, we're better off without you. I do think you could actually run the risk of it coming off as a little bit of a slap in the face to Oladipo, right? Because, I mean, Oladipo and Paul George were comparable last year. I would still say Paul George is the better player. Just go all in on Victor Oladipo. And again, like, why would Paul George be willing to go back there after telling them when he had time left on his deal, hey, I'm leaving. You might want to grab some assets because I'm leaving, just so you know.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Option number two, the Sixers. His contention, again, the writer from Sporting News is Scott Rafferty. Sixers wouldn't sign George to be the face of their franchise. They already have two of those guys in Embiid and Simmons, who are both under the age of 25. That combination was good enough to win 52 games during the regular season. They were the hottest team in the NBA before the Celts figured it out. Simmons in particular struggled against Boston. And with George on the roster, the Sixers wouldn't be as reliant on Simmons' playmaking. He's more capable of running his own pick and roll, and he's a decent playmaker for others, able to space the floor at a high rate for Simmons and Embiid to attack as well, having made over three three-pointers per game at over a 40% clip this season. So they have the third-best defense in the NBA, built around Simmons, Embiid, and Robert Covington. Throw a one-time member of the all-defensive first team into the mix. They have the makings of one of the most dominant defenses in the entire league. Do the Sixers make sense for Paul George? We've talked about Kawhi and LeBron going there. What about Paul George?
I just want to say I'm looking up for you as well, just kind of trying to figure out these options. And I do think that it does look as if Paul George stays in Oklahoma City, they're going to be paying the biggest of the luxury taxes. It could kind of push their salary cap number, $250 million to $300 million range, especially now with Carmelo opting in. Just something to maybe take a look at. Philly makes a ton of sense.
They're already getting crushed because of the Carmelo thing. I read it this morning. They're getting crushed on the luxury tax because of it.
Philly makes a ton of sense. They really, really do. You can kind of argue maybe Paul George is like a lesser Kawhi, but Paul George fits seamlessly into every single roster because he has off-ball value with elite-level defense. He does not need the ball in his hand to be effective, and he can shoot the ball. So right there, it makes him a seamless fit. So if you think about, right, if you replace Robert Covington with Paul George, I'm in on that, right? So it makes a ton of sense for Paul George. Is he going to – it's kind of strange. We haven't really heard about what Paul George's plans are. Like, we've heard might stay in OKC, has always wanted to be a Laker. Him and LeBron are boys. And that's kind of been the extent of it. Like, we haven't heard about Paul George's plans to explore all of his options, to take all of these meetings. That is one of the more interesting things, because I'd love to say Philly makes a ton of sense, but I don't know if he's considering Philly. I think that might be a mistake on his part, but I don't know if he is.
Yeah. Next one up on the list is the Houston Rockets. George's fit next to Chris Paul and James Harden would be more natural than LeBron's because he's more comfortable playing without the ball in his hands, to the point that you just made. A third of his shot attempts were catch-and-shoot three-pointers, and those were at, again, a 41% clip. Only Klay Thompson and Robert Covington made more. It's funny you mentioned Robert Covington. Made more catch-and-shoot three-pointers than George on the season, and only Harden made more total three-pointers. I think that's a funny thing. Some people don't realize how good of a shooter Paul George is, right? Mm. Casual fans. They probably remember for his broken leg more than anything else. With three-point shooting becoming a necessity in the D'Antoni system, easy transition for George. They call him a souped-up Trevor Ariza in Houston's starting lineup. Secondary playmaking, lockdown defense. He gives the Rockets the two-way player they need to take down the Warriors. That's actually a really good point. I mean, if you put him in there, what isn't instituted in this article is salary cap ramifications. So I'm flying blind a little bit, but George on the Rockets would make them, they could beat the Warriors, obviously. They nearly did it without him.
I mean, yeah, and also kind of gives you the security of, would you say Rockets win one of game six or game seven, even without Chris Paul, if they had Paul George in place of Trevor Ariza? Now, Paul George's final game of the playoffs was one of the worst games we've seen a player of his caliber play in quite some time. But would you feel comfortable in saying that?
No.
That's fair. I think about how bad he was against Utah, I might hesitate. But he's a significant upgrade over Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, and it's not a Paul George thing. It's just that the Warriors do have another level, and for whatever reason, they don't always show that other level. But I'm not entirely convinced that even with Chris Paul, that the Rockets were going to win one of those. Obviously, chances were significantly diminished with him out, but I wasn't 100% convinced that they were going to take one of those, or even 60% convinced that they were going to take one of those. I probably still would have bet the Warriors those last two games, even with Paul on the floor. So a healthy Paul on the floor. That's just me. But anyway, I know you hate that, but that's where I was at.
It makes sense, right? Like they lost, yeah. And Paul George's performance was bad. I will say, I've kind of been thinking about this whole concept of if Paul George was willing to go to Houston, and if LeBron just went to Philly, and if we just kind of buckled down for a 14 league, Celtics, Sixers, Warriors, Rockets. We just kind of went about it that way. And the rest of the teams are interesting, and we'll see how far they get. And my, oh my, if an outside team could upset one of those four, that would be something else. But I've just kind of been thinking about that concept. Now, I did just get the update on my phone that the USA Today reporter Sam Amick is saying that there is growing optimism from the Thunder that they're going to keep Paul George. There is pessimism in LeBron's camp that Paul George is willing to leave Oklahoma City, and all of this could greatly impact LeBron's chances to go to LA. So, again, not to poo-poo on the exercise of could Paul George go here, could Paul George go there. This does feel like a scenario of Paul George stays in Oklahoma City Thunder, or Paul George goes and plays with LeBron.
By the way, I saw that OKC can offer him $200 million. So
a lot of
that's going to weigh heavily there. Yeah, I mean, it's going to weigh heavily. It just will. They're going to get crushed on the luxury tax, but they know it's coming. And they've been apparently prepping financially for this to happen. And they're locked into Russell Westbrook, Andre Roberson, Steven Adams, and Carmelo for one more season. I think George can opt in. I think at some point, even if they have a good relationship, it's got to be hard to play with Russ Westbrook. And OKC knows it. They know it. It may not be, it's an impressive kind of basketball, but it may not be winning basketball in the playoffs. And I think as a player, you have to take inventory on that. But you also may want to take inventory on the size of the house that you buy when you have $200 million. So I can't begrudge him if he were to stay. The last one, obviously, is the Lakers. This LeBron and Paul George thing to L.A. because Paul George is from there. That may ultimately happen. We'll see what that looks like. But Luol Deng is the only player on their roster making eight figures. Magic Johnson could flip some of the team's younger players to compete while George and LeBron are still in their primes. But only the Lakers can offer George the total package of playing for his hometown on a max contract alongside another superstar talent. So that's why the Lakers are going to be bandied about a lot for Paul George. But we're going to have some answers 7 days from now, and it'll be a fun show to do. So I just thought the Paul George thing is interesting because Kawhi and LeBron have sucked up so much of the energy. People forget that Paul George is technically out there on the market too, if he wants to be.
And we also have, I think June 29th is the day that we have to see about player options. And I do think that if LeBron opts out, obviously if he opts in, he'll be Cavs. But if he does opt out, I'm not positive on this, but I think they said that it could take Houston out of it because they think that the sign and trade way that Chris Paul went about it could be best for them. So that is also a very big day, that 29th. So we'll probably hit on that. I think that's a Friday. So we'd probably hit on that on the Saturday.
Yeah. So we'll be talking NBA for next weekend for sure. We're going to come back. We're doing football for the final hour on FST. Join us right after the break.